Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
We're going to continue in our teaching series talking about the hurdles or the obstacles that can get in the way of us experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus came to offer. And so today we are talking about the hurdle of control. The hurdle of control. Already, does anybody just want to join me in raising their hand saying, I might be in for it on this one? Don't worry, you were not alone in first service either, okay? It's a thing. I think it would be safe to say, even those of you that weren't honest enough to raise your hand, I'm kidding. I think it would be safe to say for most of us, to a greater or lesser degree, we all love control. We have almost come to expect it in our day-to-day life, and I can give you some examples. But control is all over the place, and most of us love it. So how about this example? How many of you prefer to use the self-checkout at the grocery store? Yeah? Now, whether that be because you can control your onions not going in with your bananas, or you can control, you just think you're going to do it faster, that is still rooted in control. It is all around us. No judgment, which line you choose. Here's one. Don't look at the person that you rode with today when you answer this. How many people have been riding in the passenger seat of the car, and at some point in the ride, you are looking for a brake on your side of the vehicle? All right, Fred Flintstone. That is a desperate, you might say justified, grasp for control. You are looking for that brake, thumping the car that is not there. Here's another one. Are there hard and fast rules in your home about who can adjust the temperature of the thermostat? Yes, and amen. Control. How about who gets to have the remote control to the television at night? That was a quick hand. All right. This one might be a little controversial. How many people love 7-Brew? 7-Brew, okay? I'm just going to tell you, the level of control that this place gives me anxiety. Like, I cannot look at this menu and pull out any good decision. Like, it weirds me out. I won't go. It's nothing against 7-Brew. You're welcome to go at all the time. But think about this. One drink restaurant. You are going there to get a drink, to refresh your body or whatever. There are 8 different categories of drinks. There's 30 flavor options, different sweetness levels, different milk alternatives, different toppings, and different drizzles. So I asked AI this week, right? AI is supposed to know everything. I said, AI, how many options are there at 7-Brew? Couldn't figure it out. Said it's too many choices. It would be in the millions of millions of the different options that we can control for a coffee. I'm not picking on 7-Brew. I'm just saying this is a picture of the life and the retail experience that we have come to expect in so many areas of our lives. And the challenge of that becomes not when you want a coffee, but that we will often bring our desire for control and our expectation for control into our relationship with Jesus. And the truth for us today, friends, is that anytime we bring control into our relationship with Jesus, it is always going to be a hurdle in our relationship with him. Jesus tells us that the key to being his disciple is that we would give up control. He says this in Matthew 16. We read Jesus' word. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. This is a picture of a life completely surrendered to Jesus. And so today, are you ready to let go of control? Are you ready to surrender? Because according to Jesus, that's what it takes. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thanks for your spirit that's here with us this morning. And Lord, we come to a conversation about control almost like a goldfish would swim in water. Lord, that it's all around us. We like it to a greater or lesser degree. We expect it in so many places. God, that we might be blind to it in our relationship with you. And so today, Lord, we're asking that you would search our hearts, that you would reveal to us the places that we are trying to control, that we're trying to demand our rights or our way rather than laying them down and embracing you. Lord, what we want today is to experience more of you. And I believe for some of us today that hurdle is keeping us from that. And so would you be faithful? You are faithful to reveal to us those places of control in our life that's keeping us from knowing more of you and more of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week's hurdle of control is very closely related to last week where we looked at and talked about small sins. Whether the messages and ideas are siblings or cousins, I don't know, they're related. Last week, we talked about a biblical perspective on sin that says and sees that any sin, no matter how small the consequences may seem of that sin, is a big deal in our relationship with God, because any sin is a failure to be fully human as God has called and God has designed us. And so no matter how small it might seem to us, sin is always a barrier in our life with Jesus. Now, up on the altars today and from last week are bottles of water representing people's lives who responded last week to say, yes, I am done with sin. I want to be purified by your spirit, God. I am laying my life, my sin on the altar. That's what all of these water bottles represent on the altar. And so today we are taking this element that is very much an invitation of surrender. We're taking that same idea and expanding on it today to see and understand that Jesus doesn't just want us to surrender our sin, he wants us to surrender our whole life to him. Because that is really the essence of the Christian life we see put forth across Scripture, and that's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 16. And that's where we're going to turn. If you want to, we're going to dive in there for just a couple minutes. The picture of a disciple in Jesus' mind is the picture of a person totally surrendered to the way of Jesus. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus is walking along and he stops and he then turns to his disciples and says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow after me." I need you to join me in imagining how this happened, okay? So it says that Jesus said to his disciples. So they're walking along, and Jesus changes directions and says to his disciples. Now, these people were already there with him, right? Like, Jesus didn't call them. They're present. And so they've been present with Jesus. They may have heard his teaching, might have got to see a miracle, but they are literally with Jesus. They've made some level of commitment to him to disrupt their work schedule, disrupt whatever, so that they could be in his presence. That's who he's talking to. They are already his disciples in that sense. And Jesus turns to them and says, hey, listen. Whoever wants to be my disciple, and you're going, but Jesus, we're like, I'm already here. And he's going, I got it. I'm glad you're here. Now let's lean in. He turns to these people who are already some level of commitment to him, and he says this. If you want to experience life with me, if you want the fullness of what I came to offer, you have to be all in. You have to deny yourself. You have to say no to your desires, to your ways of doing things, to what feels good. You have to say no to yourself. You have to give up your rights, that right to get angry, that right you feel like you have to do what you want, what feels good. Jesus says, all that's got to go if you want to experience the fullness of life I came to give. And then Jesus says this. He says, take up your cross. Now, I just need to clarify here a minute. Your mother-in-law is not your cross to bear, okay? Nor is your bad job or boss at work. None of that. Like, those are burdens we bear, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is painting a picture of the end of our old life. He is saying that we would take up our cross. We would literally crucify our old self, that our old life, our old thinking, our patterns, the way we would do things, we would literally make the decision to die to ourselves. So Jesus says, take up your cross, that part of us, that old part of us would be dead and gone and have no more authority. And then he says, follow me. That is, we would deny ourselves and we would basically crucify our old self, and then we would learn to do life Jesus's way. Jesus says, that's what it means to follow me. It is a picture of total surrender. Letting go of control. And this is Jesus. He says, if you want to be my disciple, this is what it means. And Jesus, if we zoom out, he was not alone in teaching this in this way. If you go back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, maybe you've heard this before. It says there, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. This is a very famous, if you will, often quoted verse of the Bible. And friends, it is all about letting go of control. It is about surrendered life to the Lord. That we would trust the Lord completely, that we wouldn't rely on what we understand or what we know or what makes sense to us. It's saying, no, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your perspective and your understanding. We give that up in trusting in favor of Jesus and his calling on our life. And it says, in all your ways, submit to him. That is letting go of control. That is surrender. And so let me ask you this morning, what would this look like in your life? What would it look like for you to trust completely in the Lord, not to lean on what you can see and what you understand, but to let God have it all? What would that look like? This week, I reached out to several folks and friends, family in the congregation, and just asked, can you share with me what your journey, what your hurdle of control has been like in your life? Because I wanted to hear from you. Maybe you can relate to their story. One person said about control. Remember, what does this look like? It says, right now we're loaded with work and the pressure to complete projects and stay on budget. There's a lot of pressure to do it all and to do it safely, all the while working 7 days a week for what seems like months on end. I feel pulled and tugged in every direction, so I give that to the Lord. I have to slow down and let his promises fill me. I have released my anxiety and my frustrations. I know that alone I cannot do any of this and achieve anything, but with the power of God, all things are possible, and I lean on that promise. What would it look like for you? Another person said this. It said, recently, I've had to release control of finances and trust in God for one income to be enough so that my wife can stay home with a baby. Now, that goes against all my retirement plans. I was really happy because we started investing early, and I've always put a lot of money into retirement accounts so that we might be able to retire at 50. And now, with only one income, we're fine, but not able to save much for retirement, and that's really frustrating. But I know it is what God wants for our family right now, and I shouldn't worry about retirement because I know God will provide. And then in parentheses, he says, he may just have me work longer than I wanted to. Surrender. What is it in your life today? You see, the problem with control is that as long as we control, our hands are clenched on the levers of life. Our hands are clenched around what we want and what we think and what we demand. As long as our hands and our heart are clenched around our control and what we want, we are never opening ourselves up to what God wants to do in our life. And so as long as we are living clenched fist on the controls of life, we will always keep God at an arm's distance, not allowing him to do what he wants in and through our life. It's not that God can't do it, it's that we won't let him. And as long as we continue to hold on to control, we're going to hit this lid in our spiritual life, never understand, why can't I ever get beyond this? Why do we keep coming back to this point? We hit the lid of our own control. And the invitation of Jesus and the invitation of the scriptures is that we would let go and completely open our hearts, our minds, our lives to what Jesus wants. And we would say yes to him. Because when we open ourselves up to him, there's no limit to what God can do, to the grace and the life and the peace that we experience when we open ourselves up to him and surrender. All that is on the other side of this hurdle of control. So will you position yourself in a posture of humility to receive more of Jesus? That's what's at stake. Paul talked a lot about this idea in the New Testament. He says this in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul was not literally crucified on one of the crosses beside Jesus. That's not what he's saying here. He's picking up this same idea that Jesus was talking about when he said, take up your cross and follow me. Paul's saying that he has put to death his old self, his old desires, his self-determination, his rights, the ability to plot his own course. He's given all of that up. He's crucified with Christ. He's given all that over to the Lord. It's as if the old Paul died. That is a picture of complete surrender to Jesus himself. And so what happens is that the life of Jesus then comes and fills Paul and comes and fills you and I, the surrendered believer. And literally, it's the life of Christ that makes this flesh and bones move. That's what's at stake. That's what Paul's saying. He's let all of that go, and it's as if God is living his life through Paul. Another way to think about this is that Paul has waved the white flag of surrender above his life. Y'all remember watching like Tom and Jerry and Bugs Bunny when you were younger, and they would wave the white flag when they wanted to? You know, that's not just a cartoon thing. Like, it is actually an international law that this is a symbol of peace. It's a symbol that says, I want to stop fighting. I found a picture this week of a white flag that was used in our nation's history. This is a picture of a dish towel. You see, it doesn't matter what the flag is, it's the symbol. Because this is a picture of a dish towel that was used by a Confederate soldier that initiated Robert E. Lee's surrender to end the Civil War. You see, that soldier carried that white flag and says, I'm done fighting. That's our invitation today, is that we would take up the white flag of surrender and say, God, I'm done fighting. I'm done resisting. I surrender. That's the invitation. Someone else I reached out to this week in sharing their story about control said this. Says, my hurdle is self-reliance and trying to control outcomes and hard situations on my own instead of relying on the Lord's strength and guidance to see me through. I likely miss out on growing seasons due to trying to find quick fixes and solutions, also feeling personally responsible for every outcome because I tried to rely on myself. Another friend shared this story about control. So there's two main areas that come to mind. Those are health issues and parenting. We experienced two miscarriages between our girls, and those were dark, hard times in which I felt like I had no control. I desperately wanted things to work out in my timetable to heal our hearts, but I had to take my hands off of that situation and trust God with control. It was hard and did not come naturally. And then again, parenting again and again is still so difficult. I find myself worrying about every detail of their future from this weekend to adulthood. Parents, can I get an amen? But ultimately, I remind myself that they belong to God. They are His children who He has designed with a plan and a purpose. I have to trust Him in that. You see, the beautiful thing about letting go of control and surrender is that we get to experience more of Jesus. Every white flag moment in our life, every time we come to a point of decision and we say, Lord, I surrender, I lay this down, it is another step in our journey of grace, growing in Christ's likeness. He is faithful to continue to bring us to these moments of decision where we are going to decide, are you doing it your way or are you doing it my way? That crisis moment is a moment that we get to surrender. And ultimately, God is bringing us on that trip, that journey of grace, to that we would get to the point where we go, God, it's not about surrendering things anymore, it's about surrendering me. I'm done fighting. I'm done fighting. That's ultimately where God is leading us. And that's the picture of the normal Christian life according to the Scriptures. Romans 12:1 says it this way in the Message paraphrase. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. This is the normal Christian response according to the Scriptures in view of all God has done for you and I. That we would lay our lives on the altar, we would totally surrender and say, God, I'm done fighting. Whatever you want from me, my life is yours. And please hear me, this is not for board members and deacons and pastors. This is for everyone. Because that's exactly what Jesus called us to do. Whoever wants to be my disciple must surrender. You know, I noticed something about a lot of the stories I heard from folks this week. I've noticed it in my own life, my own control struggles, that on the other side of this hurdle is grace and peace, life and freedom that far outweighs anything that you are giving up. Because when we open our hearts and ourselves up to Jesus, He is faithful to come. And friends, He is better than anything in this world. And it comes when we take our hands off the controls of our life. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to let Him in? That's really our invitation this morning, is to wave the white flag of surrender. What would it be for you? The band's going to make their way to the front. Like, what is it that you sense God is leaning and pressing upon your heart this morning that you might know you're resisting Him, that you might be demanding your way and not letting go of? What would that look like for you today? To embrace surrender and experience more of Jesus. Someone told me this week, it's been a long journey, but the Lord has helped me let go of anger toward a person that hurt me years ago. I thought holding on to anger and hurt was punishment to them, but it was destroying me. And now I'm able to hug this person and feel good about it. Trust me, the Lord did this through continued prayer and growing in the Lord. I could not do this on my own. You need to surrender anger or unforgiveness today. Like, has that bitterness so gripped your heart, it's closed you off from intimacy with Jesus? Maybe it's your finances. So a person shared with me this week, a control hurdle for me is that I'm working on releasing is my finances. I've been blessed by folks' generosity so much, and I'm having to learn what being generous feels like from my end towards others. Are you clinging to finances today? To your right to use your money the way you want? Surrender. Maybe it's a job or a career. And that was a big white flag moment for me. I was a part of a family business. I wanted to be an electrician. I love that job. I wanted to be a part of that company and reap the financial benefits from it. It's what I honestly thought I would always be doing. I never really gave it a lot of thought because I was that passionate about it. But yet, there came a season when I had an unexplainable and undeniable sense that God wanted me to do something else. I didn't know what that was. But God in His providence and His grace brought me to an intersection where He said, okay, you can either go with your plans, your way, or you can say yes to me. But God, what do you mean? Trust me. All right. Whatever. What is it for you? What is it for you? Maybe it's your desire for comfort. Maybe your desire to fit in. Someone shared with me this week, a control hurdle that I've recently had to let go of is conformity and being comfortable. I feel like as if those two things go hand in hand and have always been my biggest issue because I worry too much about what others think. That's something to surrender. Instead of pushing myself to be the best version of myself, I tend to get comfortable in my conformity. I know that as a Christian, I should strive not to conform to the world and not be comfortable in the situation I'm in due to seeking what the Lord has for me and those around me. Being comfortable and conforming will not get you to the kingdom of God. Do you need to surrender what other people think? Or being comfortable in favor of God's fullness of life for you in this season? What is it for you, friends? Is it a relationship? Is it a time frame? Is it an outcome? Is it a bad habit? What is it today that you are so tightly clinging to that you cannot receive more of Jesus because you won't let Him? What is that today? Here's the thing. God is always faithful in the lives. He's always faithful, period. In the lives of those who are seeking Him, who are desiring to be His disciples, the Lord is always faithful to bring us to a moment of decision, to pull us up to that intersection and go, all right, son, all right, daughter, which way are we going to go? We can go your way, that direction, the way you've always gone, or we can go my way. And in that moment, you feel a very distinct sense of what you know you want to do, but what you know God's calling you to do. And in that tension, that moment of crisis, God is there saying, what are you going to do? Are we going to continue in control? Are you going to continue to stiff arm me and push me out of your life? Or are you going to open yourself up and allow me to come and do a miracle of grace in your life? Maybe that's an intersection moment for you today. And God's asking you, what's it going to be? Are we going to keep going your way, or are you ready to wave the white flag of surrender above your life? Would you stand with me? The thing about surrender is that it's not a once and done. There's a point in time we need to surrender, we need to do those things, but there might come another 100 opportunities tomorrow to wave the white flag of surrender above your life. Because we are always surrendering, always yielding to the move of the Spirit. And so surrender is, yes, so one moment in time. It's one moment in time, but it's also every moment of all time that we would surrender to Him. There's a bunch of these little flags up here on the altars. They're for anyone that wants to surrender. Maybe you sense God distinctly speaking into your heart right now in a specific area, a specific thing that He's asking you to surrender. That's, you've got a choice. You've been fighting Him. You've been strong-arming Him. And He's saying, won't you let me have it? Won't you let me have all of you? Maybe you're here today and you're living a life of surrender and you just want a reminder for tomorrow's 100 times to say, yes, Lord, I'm done fighting. I'm all in. The band's going to lead us in worship. These are on either altar. You're welcome to come get them. There's no pressure. I'm going to put this where I can see it every day just as a reminder to surrender. And we might receive more of him. Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for your word today. Thanks for this intersection that you've brought us to, Lord, to hear stories of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in the room with us today that are expressing and sharing what white flag moments have come in their life. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, for searching our hearts and revealing to us even now places where we've been pushing back, where we've been resisting you. Thank you for the mercy of God that allows us to choose once again. So Lord, today as you lead us and you guide us, you will not force our yes. You will not force our surrender. Though you desire it, it's ultimately our choice to say, I'm done fighting. I'm done fighting. So Lord, will you search our hearts today? May, by your help, lead us to surrender. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's no pressure today, friends. There's just an opportunity to open up your life to him and receive more. More of him. Let's worship.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.